Hello, and welcome to Sunday Messages with Fairmount Friends Church. We're so glad that you are joining us. You can find out more on www.fairmountfriendschurch.org. Here's Pastor Brock Meyer.
I want to, in my message today, to preach a message to the whole church family. This isn't just for dads, although it's going to be geared towards our dads, but there's truths for everyone that is in here. As a kid, growing up playing baseball, part of being able to play baseball is making sure that you're equipped with the right tools. Are y'all with me? You gotta have your hat. You gotta have your glove, and you gotta have big league chew. That's what it takes to play baseball. And I've got some big league chew here, and I've got a couple other guys that's got some big league chew out there that we've got to get to all the guys in the audience. So big league chew is coming around to all of our guys here, just like peanuts and popcorn. Peanuts, popcorn, all of our guys here. Here we go. We'll toss them out there. If you don't like it, give it to me. I will definitely eat all of the big league chew here today. Peanuts and popcorn coming. Did y'all get something? We got a twofer. Oh, there it was, right there. Everybody else good? We got them? Yep. AJ, did you get one? You already got one. Y'all set? Everybody get one? Don't let that pull your teeth out. Everybody set? I think we're good. Good, good. All right. Now you're ready for the ball game. The other thing that I always enjoyed was having sunflower seeds. And right out of the bat, I would chew the sunflower seed and swallow it and spit out the seed. I would eat the shell and then toss out the seed because I just had it backwards. You can't get that thing mixed up too long. That'll mess you up real quick. Anyway, big league chew was one of my things because I felt like whenever I was playing, there was this guy by the name of Lenny Dykstra. Anybody familiar with him? Played for the Philadelphia Phillies. Whenever he would get up there, he had his lip hanging down this far off his face full of chew. It wasn't big league chew. It was the legit stuff. And he would get up there and he would spit a stream. And I was like, that's the most disgusting and coolest thing ever. But I went the big league chew route. Anyway, jam your lip full of sunflower seeds and big league chew, and you're on your way. Yesterday, our kids had a baseball tournament here, and it rained and rained and rained on them. At one point during the game, and I'm the coach of the coach's pitch. I'll tell you, the hardest thing in all of coach's pitch is to get a 36-year-old to throw it over the plate. It is impossibly hard just to try to stand there and go, that's hard. I strike kids out. I've struck more kids out this year than I did all of my competitive years playing baseball. And it's not that they're bad. I just can't get it to them. And just can't get it over the plate to them. But anyway, we're playing yesterday. The rain's coming down sideways, trying to like hunker down and throw balls. And they called it because there was too much rain. And can I tell you this? There wasn't a single dad out there that wasn't acting like he was 10 years old again. It was like, yes, this is the coolest thing. There's no such thing as too much rain. We were having one of the best times. The field was muddy. I'm sliding all over pitcher's mound. It's like, I'm 10 again. These are boyhood memories right here. We're not calling this thing for too much rain. It's the softening of a generation. Like, kids can't play in the rain anymore. Like, that's all we did was play in the rain. It's not wet enough. Get the garden hose out there. We didn't have slip and slides. You just spray water on the ground and then you dive on that, right? And slide and get muddy and dirty. And in our house, the way that the pitch on the roof was came down to the middle, and then all of the water dumped right on top of our deck patio. And it had a lattice roof, so it just was pouring through there. I would grab the shampoo and go out there in front of God and everybody, take a shower. Right out there in the rain. Just loved it. That's the beauty of living in the country, right? Dennis, I think you might have done that as well on old 600 West. But just had a blast with it. And one of the good moves that the league did this year is there's no more participation ribbons for Little League. I don't know about you, but can I get an amen for that? You were eighth place and got a trophy. You were terrible. You were terrible and you get a trophy for that? That's the beginning of the wussification of America whenever you're terrible and get a trophy for it. And it's an entitlement. And you don't get an entitlement spirit on you just being 25 and still being on mom and dad's insurance plan. You get it whenever you're four and you're bad. You strike out 20 times out of 21 and we give you trophies for that stuff. Or you lose 12 out of 13 games and you get trophies. So that was a good move. I could start preaching on that. I won't. I need to move on. But anyway, bubble gum for all you guys. That was our flower for you as a Father's Day gift. And 'tis the season for baseball and all those boyhood things that go on in the lives of young men. You do feel quickly like you're 8, 9 years old all over again. I want to talk to you about this message called The Butterfly Effect. This comes from a book by the man of Andy Andrews. And in this book, he talks about this butterfly effect that was put together by a scientist who wrote a story or who wrote a theory called The Butterfly Effect. And simply, here's the theory. It says a butterfly could flap its wings and set molecules of air in motion, which would move other molecules of air, and in turn moving more molecules of air, eventually capable of starting a hurricane on the other side of the planet. As he presented this theory, he was laughed out of the room, as you can well assume, only to have his theory proved years later that enough of a certain thing consistently over the course of time does cause a riptide. It is possible, is what they say in theory, that a butterfly flapping its pretty little feathers, I don't know what they got, wings. Are there feathers on a butterfly? Yeah, just stick with wings. Could set a hurricane into motion. I just want to talk about the impact that each and every man has in here, more so than you even realize. You carry more influence and impact, perhaps, and you're even aware of by your action or inaction. That by what you do or what you choose to not do, it has a ripple effect on all of the lives around you, causing hurricane riptide impact on your wife, children, community, church, by how much you choose to engage or disengage. Perhaps sometimes we think our lives has just been a series of random events, but I want to encourage you that it has been incredibly and tremendously binary, line upon line, because of this action and this action and this action. There has been movement taking place in your life. Anybody remember in math class, A plus B equals C? And what one thing plus another thing has to equal something else. It just does. And so whether you had an awesome dad or not, that bared weight on your life. It affected the way that you were raised. It grabbed a hold of some sort of a mindset. It grabbed a worldview in your head as how you see the world, how you see people. Maybe you just don't enjoy dads or male leadership, or maybe even it's hard to look at God as a father. Maybe you love looking at God as a father because dad was amazing. Dad was good. He was consistent. These things kind of bear weight. Also, as you are really honest with those things and you work through them, you can work through all of the really good, healthy forgiveness and navigating through those things. And there's an effect that has on our lives as well. And it's just constantly having these ripple effects that come through. And I just want to help us, if we can change our perspective to a butterfly effect, every little small movement that I make truly does matter. It truly does. And are my kids being raised staring at the back of a laptop or closing it and chasing them around the room and tickling them and wrestling with them? Does that impact their life at all? Is there an impact in that moment, or is it, this is just another moment, I gotta get some work done, I gotta knock this out? I believe that all of it bears weight on our lives. What's the effect if I show up early? What's the effect if I show up late? What's the impact if I have a little bite on my words, or I'm emotionally disengaged, or I just need more me time. And more me time mounted upon a lot of time is just selfishness, and it disengages from others. What's the impact of all of these little flitter-flattering, flapping of the wings, decisions, attitudes, actions that I make in my home that truly impact the lives of others? I want to tell you a story that perhaps you look back in history and maybe you thought Abraham Lincoln was the one that ended the Civil War, right? He's the guy. What if there was more to the story of what was going on in the 1860s? I want to tell you about a guy by the name of Joshua Lawrence Chamberlain. And in July 2nd, of 1863, he found himself in the fight of his life. He was a former professor at Bowdoin College in Maine. And all of a sudden, he moves from being a professor to being on the front lines leading the 20th Maine. And he originally was in a group of 80,000 soldiers as they were gathering together at this little tiny town called Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. And that 80,000 group of Union soldiers, he was in charge of the 20th Maine, which had 1,000. And they had made this march 25 miles to show up to tiny town Gettysburg. And after the 25-mile march and a couple of battles that they had engaged with, he was down to 300 men. He's at the end of the line of this area that goes up the side of a hill. Perhaps you've heard of it. It was called Little Round Top. Little Round Top, many believe, was the hinge on which the Civil War swung. The Confederates are coming to fight them, and it was the 15th and the 47th Alabama Regiment. The 15th and the 47th Alabama are wanting to take Little Round Top, and they knew that if we could take the hill, it would be a downward attack from there, and it would be over. Literally, America's destiny is hanging in the balance. And here's a college professor, seemingly unequipped, seemingly doesn't know how to do this. How do I fight? And fathers, how do I fight for my family? How do I romance my wife? How do I cause my children's hearts to come alive? How do I lead a mission? How do I do this thing? And yet you're thrown into this, ready or not. Here we go. Your lives, your legacies, your grandchildren's lives are hanging in the balance as you're flapping your wings. And there's one charge that starts coming up, and it's these really close shots of ammunition, how they used to fight, right? It was, you don't fire till you see the white of their eyes. So they are battling as close as we are in this room as they're shooting one another, and they stave off one attack. They come back, and they, after the Alabama regroups, and they come with another charge. It's the second one. They hold them off. They regroup. They come with a third attack, and he's losing men and he's losing ammo. And Joshua Lawrence Chamberlain gets shot in the belt buckle, and it deflects off, and he lives. And he was mildly wounded, but he lives, and he gets up again. And his colonel, Colonel Vincent, he said, "Whatever you do, you cannot let them get through here. You've got to double down on the defense. They cannot bust through this rock wall that we have." And so earlier that morning, they grabbed as many rocks as they could, and they built a rock wall about waist high. And they were fighting behind this thing, and as they kept charging, they would shoot over the top and then come back down. They would shoot over the top and try to hide behind this rock wall. A fourth charge is coming. A fifth charge is coming. Chamberlain calls his younger brother, Tom. He says, "Tom, how are we doing on ammunition?" And he goes to get a report. And as he comes back, he says, "We have no ammunition. We have none." And on this fifth attack, they are swinging their rifles. their knives and their fists, doing everything they possibly can to hold off the Alabama regiment. And there's this quote right here that says that he will not get shot. He will survive. He says, "I knew I may die." This is Chamberlain talking. "But I also knew that I would not die with a bullet in my back." Come on, that'll preach right there. "I would not die in retreat. I am, at least, like the Apostle Paul who wrote, 'This one thing I do, I press toward the mark.'" There's something whenever you've got iron in your spirit, you're not kind of a limp spine. You've got spine, cast iron rod in your spine saying, it is non-negotiable on how I'm going to lead this team. It is non-negotiable the kind of man of character I'm going to be in this marriage. It is non-negotiable who I will not retreat. I will fully engage. I'm not going to back down. I'm going to lead well. And I may take a bullet, but better believe it's not going to be in my back. I'm going to lead full frontal all of the way into war. And you run to the battle. That's the kind of man that we had leading the 20th Maine. As they held off this fifth attack and eventually securing Little Round Top, had Chamberlain and the 20th Maine not been able to stand their ground, many believe that the Confederates would have taken Little Round Top, downward charge from there. They would have flipped the entire ending of the story. And can I tell you this, not only just holding ground there in that moment, not only just holding ground in that moment in your kitchen, not just holding ground that moment in your living room, in your family, in your marriage, not just holding all of the troops together, had he not have held all of the troops together, America would have looked like Europe, splintered into a dozen different countries. It wouldn't have been one nation under God. We would have been completely divided. Slavery would have continued to be the MO of the day. We wouldn't have had a government that was by the people, for the people. It could have easily gone into some sort of other weirdness of maybe hierarchical tyranny. Who knows what we would look like today? Could we say that Chamberlain saved America from looking like Europe? Is it possible the guy that no one has ever heard of, that conversation that maybe you don't even remember having, that one moment whenever you said to Johnny, "Hey, I'll be home early to play catch," or when you decided to stay late and didn't play catch, do those little moments affect life over the course of time? Is there a butterfly effect that if we could look at our own lives would bear significant weight? Can you all imagine right now being raised in something other than America, which is the coolest and baddest place on the earth? Baddest is a good word. It's an amazing place to live. Because there were some men, and let's not just be confused that it was only Chamberlain like he was a Lone Ranger. There were groups of soldiers that had enough integrity to know what they're fighting for and to fight till the death for something like that. Man, I just want to encourage you right now that it is worth it, maybe not even for your own life, but for the future of your family, to lay your life down to serve another. Jesus says that the greatest love that anyone will ever know is whenever a friend will lay his life down for another, and then he goes to the cross and he puts it on full display, what it takes to take on all the abuse, to take on all of the weight, to take on all of the misunderstanding and continue to lead through it and to do it well. With joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. We got to get a mind game, a perspective shift, that it is worth it to suffer well and to do it even with joy, that God is faithful through the trials, that I am setting a new day in my family. Perhaps dad didn't set a good day. Maybe dad was an alcoholic and you say, "It stops with me. It stops in my lineage today with me." Maybe dad was abusive. "It stops with me. That's not going to be the MO of our home. there's going to be peace and joy and love and laughter in this home, and I'm going to make sure that that's the way we lead through this thing. I'm going to lead with joy, not with frustration. I'm going to lead with energy and excitement, not bitter and heavy and backstabbing. I'm going to lead a different day. It's a different day. And instead of having a divided Europe, you could have a one nation, united America in your home. It is true, and it is possible. And it takes you doubling down on making that decision. After the Union kept Little Round Top, President Lincoln shows up at Gettysburg, and he walks across the tiny town that had become a battlefield, somewhat of a mortuary, and he delivers this speech that we all had to memorize in high school. Do you remember the first line or two? It's 47 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation, brought forth this proposition for liberty, that idea, did I get close to it? Right? They brought forth something, and as you look, what did your fathers bring forth in your life? And men, I think that stuff impacts us when we're 4, when we're 14, even when we're 44, it still has an impact. But men, I want to encourage us, we've got to get healed, we've got to get healthy, we had to have an encounter with another father who can bring some healing and some forgiveness to where we start radiating a different father, a different being. Rather than just reproducing what we've only been shown, we've been shown something way much better than that, that we've got to get our eyes fixed on a father who can do it well for us. In Psalm chapter 90 and in verse 12, it says, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. You know, for me, and this is just one little, maybe it's a life hack that I've stumbled upon, but hindsight is much clearer than foresight. Looking back, you see things incredibly clear, right? Like, well, sure, it makes sense. Or maybe even some regret sits in. Man, oh, wish I would have, could have, should have, but didn't. One little hack I try to do is, in this moment, if I were to fast forward the tape 20 years, and I could look back, how will I wish I would have handled this moment? As Alyssa's gone with Ronnie, and I've got Judah and Nora, and they say, Dad, can we sleep with you? And I think, I'm not going to sleep at all. But when I'm walking that daughter down the aisle, will I have wished that I would have slept one more night with my 4-year-old? Will I have wished that I would have done one more report or that I would have gone out and played catch with Judah? This is not to put any regret on anybody looking back. This is to put some inspiration on you as you look forward to steward these moments well. We all get these moments, right? And it seems like as we're raising these kiddos, the days are long and the years are so short. It's like, man, another year gone. I was just doing Little League and now they're married. Now they're grown up. Now I got grandkids. Whoa, what just happened? Turned around twice and I'm a grandfather. It happens, it moves. And if I was able to have eternity in perspective, in light of eternity, and I think about this often, if I were able to go back and watch my own life in heaven, I get the TV screen in heaven, I'm able to watch it, I'm like, yes, nailed it there, oh, didn't nail it there, why didn't I? Could have, and probably should have. Dads, we can do more, we're fathers, we got leaders, we've got people that are leading their family and leading their homes, leading their community, leading in the school system. We've got some that are the romantics. Look at him, spinning his girl around the dance floor. Come on, man. Showing up to the wedding and just dancing with your girl, spinning her around. The romantic we've got. What else we've got here? We've got the wild man. Takes his wife on an adventure, jumps in some ATVs, right? There's that sort of that thing about the guy, the snowmobile rides and all of that good stuff. We've got the riptide effect of a men's group that can come together, that we as men can unify and say it's going to be a new day of how we're going to lead our families. We've got a legacy of how we can continue to love and to lead, maybe even after heartbreak and after hardship. There's still more in store for each and every one of us. There's a butterfly effect that our church can have. And for each and every one of us, there's a battle for you to fight. There is something for you to engage in. Do not disconnect from the battle. Continue to woo the hearts. And even if your kids are grown and gone, you still can have an impact in their lives. You still can. You're still dad. You are. Whether there's that amazing honor and respect or not, you still are the father. I'll tell you, it just took a quick moment for you to become a dad. It took a moment where you encountered a woman, but it takes a lifetime of influence and impact for you to truly be that father that they need. Are y'all with me? And for us to be a tribe of fathers. And so, fathers, I say to you, cheers today, that we can be the best that God has ever made us to be as dads. If you've got a head start or not, the story's not over, and there's more impact and influence for you to have. Would y'all stand with me this morning as we close? Jesus, we just pray that this would be a church of impact and influence. Even some young men that are sitting here, not married, no, they're not dads. Lord, I pray that they would just gain a heart of wisdom. As you say in Psalm 90, let me number these days. Let me live in a perspective of these days, of how quickly they move, that I may live with wisdom in this life. Lord, I just pray a double dose of wisdom upon our men. Lord, I pray that you would redeem the time that's even been lost. Father, I pray that they would have an encounter with you as Father God. Lord, I pray that the dads that are just getting started in the game, they've got young ones. Lord, I pray that they would just be hungry to max out the moments. Father, we pray for the dads that have got the kids grown and gone. They're in a new season. God, they would just understand that they still have that sage wisdom to impart. We pray that you would turn hearts of fathers towards children, hearts of children back toward fathers. In Jesus' name, we ask you for a supernatural shift and a generational reconciliation to take place in families. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we just pray a blessing upon all of the fathers today. Refresh them, renew them, put steel in their spine, let them lead well. In Jesus' name, amen.
So we're so glad you were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or your preferred podcasting app. Be sure to rate us so other people can know about the podcast.